everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart, and I'm here to share another hour with you this week, relaxing and enjoying each other's company just like we would in our living room over a cup of coffee, spreading some knowledge, sharing with you my perspectives, telling you stories, hopefully negating the negativity and spreading positivity, but bringing awareness to pertinent topics that are happening at this time on our planet. I was hesitant to do a show on the topic that I'm going to talk about tonight because I wanted to let a little more time go by and see if my experiences had either dissipated or had sort of blown up. And what I found out is not much to my surprise, but as I'd sort of anticipated, the issues that I'm having have gotten worse. And so I'd like to talk to you about some environmental issues that have been happening with me, and not only with me, with at least four other people that I've talked to in the past couple of months. And that indicates a pattern to me, and it's something that my spidey senses are tingling over, and I wanted to get your perspective on that. I want to see if any of you out there are struggling with some of the same maladies, let's call them, that myself and people close to me and some clients are struggling with. My belief is that all of this stems from the chemtrails and the poisons and toxins that are being put into our skies. Although we know that we're getting bombarded with GMOs and things in our food and our drinking water as well, I know that mine is not coming from my drinking water, and I eat as purely as possible. So I'm gonna, at least for this issue, say that it's not food related. I really do feel as though it's environmentally related, and that it's coming from stuff that's being sprayed. And I think, and I've read, that there are new techniques that the bad guys have developed to spread these different, are they nano particles? Are they Morgellons? Is it a technology that gets into the body and grows in the body into these types of things? There are so many unknowns because the bad guys are so bad that we don't know what technology they have. And we know that things are happening, and we know that things are negative as a result. People have been complaining for years. I can remember when I did my original Positude podcast with my other co-host that he was talking back then, you know, 8 or so years ago on an episode about threads, Morgellons and threads that they were outside in their yard, and he was getting them, I believe, like in his nose and on his skin, and they were colored threads and they weren't good. And he was talking about Morgellons, and this is going years back, but now it seems as though it's come more to the forefront of the underground circle, let's say. People are becoming more aware of them. They're studying them more. They're reporting their findings on them more. People are posting pictures of them in their yards, in their gardens, and on their clothing, on their skin. So it's definitely something that's amped up. I know what I feel. I know what I feel. But I don't have all of the details as to how they're doing it and what this stuff is, other than the articles that I'm able to glean off of the underground through different sources. And that's mostly their perspective, So, and I'm hearing conflicting stories, but there's a lot of technology out there. There are a lot of things out there that people are snapshotting and putting online that it's all the basic same thing, i.e., there's something that's coming down from the sky and it's either alive or becomes alive or comes to life after it hits the ground or hits our skin or gets into our bodies. But it's causing issues, right? It's causing issues, whether it be a neurological issue or a behavioral issue or a mental issue, which is also could be a behavioral issue or a skin issue. But the issue that I want to talk to you about tonight, most specifically, are people that are having a lot of problems with their eyes. Vision problems, swollen eyes, itchy and puffy eyes, and this extends outside of the realm of your normal seasonal allergies. And since we're talking about normal seasonal allergies, that's another key component to all of this is every single person that I've talked to the past 2 or 3 years has complained that their allergies have gotten worse and exponentially worse over the last couple of years. Also, in relation to that, there are so many people, both clients, friends, and people that I see on their media sites on the internet that are complaining that they've never had allergies before, or they've never had as many allergies, but they're developing allergies, and they're developing. People that have been healthy all their lives are developing allergies, and people that have had allergies before are developing more and more sensitivities and allergies to different things. It's way too much of a coincidence, and nothing's a coincidence, as we know. There's just such an uptick in it, and particularly people that I'm speaking to are having issues with the eyes. The first time I heard about this from an older friend of mine that was relatively healthy for the most part and has had some serious issues to the point of, I'm going to drive to Boston to the specialist and get this resolved, and they couldn't resolve it type issues. I've got to tell you, the first thing that popped into my head when he was relaying the scenario around his discomfort was the Vril Society and the creature that maybe some of you have read about or heard about on Telegram or the internet, where supposedly when they want to take over a person's soul. And in the instance that I had read about it initially, it was a high political figure or someone in charge of a government or someone that they really wanted to control that was in power or coming into power, is that they would insert this Vril into, I think it was their right eye, maybe it doesn't matter, I don't honestly recall, but into the eye, and that thing took on, it was a tiny little microscopic or amoebic type thing, and it grew inside the body and took over the body and took over, in some cases I've read, it took over their souls. It was able to control the body. And just like we've heard about for years on different podcasts and shows, people have reported that there are these things that exist interdimensionally, although some people call them aliens that come in and they're there to inhabit your soul. They're or your body. They're there to take over your soul and inhabit your body because they don't have a body of their own. So, and I've been reading a lot in most recent months. I see a lot of information coming to light about the dark religions and the secret societies, and how most especially with the royal blood, that not only do they have these sexual encounters where they're mingling the bloodlines, and, you know, for instance, with Prince William, I think it was, you know, supposedly Diana was forced to have sex with, or was fertilized with, some other royal sperm, so that they had all of the 13 bloodlines in her lineage and in her body, you know, as a result of who her family bloodlines were, or maybe the sperm, that person that donated the sperm was something to do with the 13th bloodline, and that was inseminated into her so that the whole 13th bloodline was there, whether it be a combination of her body, the sperm that was put into her, or whatever. And so therefore they had kind of the perfect formula to create the Antichrist, and it was William. So I've been hearing and reading a lot more about that. There seems to be an uptick in stories coming out on the internet about that type of situation. But yeah, the real society, and so these things were injected into the eye, and it grows and takes over the person's body. And then my mind started going into the whole jabby jab and the graphene oxide, and how that's able to form chains, and it corroborates with the 5G. And then I'm thinking about all of the morticians across the United States and these whistleblowers who are coming forward with stories that these, as people pass, and they're passing from quote unquote heart issues and blood clots, they're pulling these white fibrous organisms out of people that are 5 or 6 feet long that are not blood clots. And in fact, most horribly, what morticians are reporting is that they're sentient in nature. They're putting them into jars, and these things are surviving for like several days in the jar. And they showed slides of them and pieces of them like crawling all across the examining room table. And in some cases, people had videos of what looked like these creatures looking at them. Really strange stuff here. I mean, this is like the living version of the Twilight Zone. It's just crazy to me. And then that brings me to the song in my head, Same Kind of Crazy as Me by Cody Jinks, because it's one of my favorite songs. It actually, if I had the rights to it, it would probably be one of my opening songs, to be honest with you. But boy, it's getting nuts out there, isn't it? And how far down the rabbit hole do we want to traverse before even the most open of us are coined crazy by some of our colleagues, our peers? You know, that's how bad it's gotten. It's just, there's so much out there. But the rural society and these fibrous clots. There's a woman on Telegram. Boy, hold on, let me see if I can find her name. Okay, her name is Dr. Jane Ruby, and on Telegram she's got 80.1k subscribers right now. She is the first one that I had seen the stories about and the interviews that she had done with morticians outing the white fibrous clot issue that they were finding in corpses. And it goes back, my gosh, I want to say 8 or 9 months ago. So if you're on there, peruse her channel, and maybe you'll be able to find something about that. I've not been on Telegram or on social media in general a whole lot lately. Instagram, just because it's a good way for me to keep track of my family, and I do post on there occasionally. However, it's mostly pictures of nature and flowers and my puppies and things like that. But that is a great way to get a hold of me if you need to private message me, as well as @Maggie_Hart. That's Maggie_Hart, H-E-A-R-T, @outlook.com. And I do have a website that is being developed, and I know you're all sick to death of hearing that. It's been a very long process, and I just wasn't having a lot of success with the other people that were creating the website for me, and hopefully we're working toward getting a new one up and running pretty soon. It actually was put live a couple weeks ago and then taken down because I haven't had the time to work on it to put the extra information into the creator to have the final touches put on it, let's say. And so that's on me. I've just been so incredibly busy, as I'm sure all of you are. Everything seems to be a process, and I've had some other things that I've had to take precedence that are more pressing in nature, personal issues with family that I've needed to deal with. So that kind of got pushed off for now. But anyway, yes, a website is coming. And you can reach me on Instagram, if not on email, but I would definitely reach out to me if you're looking for some help and intuitive guidance and direction, or just want to share your story about possibly yourself or a family member having some of the same issues that I'm encountering here with people that I've been talking to about these eye problems. But back to Jane Ruby, I don't know. I haven't traversed Telegram a whole lot. I go on there sometimes to find some news stories, especially when I'm praying for guidance and direction on what I want to talk about. It doesn't seem as though she's broached that topic in a while. I know there was, and I really don't have the details, but I know there was a point where she was being brought to trial or going to be sued for something, I think, and that may have something to do with it. I honestly don't know. But if you go back and look, I want to say like 8 or 9 months ago, you'll find a whole series of stories and interviews that she did with people talking about these sentient blood clots that developed in people that had taken the jab. So anyway, her recent things seem to be about something else that I wanted to talk about in conjunction with the physiological issues, most notably these eye issues and other issues with allergies people seem to be having much more frequently. But the weather. So we know that Bill Gates wanted to block out the sun. At least I think it was Bill Gates, but anyway, they want to block out the sun. They want to block out the sun because it's something that our bodies need to thrive and to stay healthy. D3, many, many people that I've worked with over the years have struggled with seasonal depression and the lack of sunshine in the areas that I have had the pleasure of living. Just there's a long, long winter, you know, and so it's very dark and it's very dreary and it's very drab, and so many people struggle with the seasonal depression because of the lack of sunshine. So in my opinion, that's one reason that they want to block out the sun, is because it's essential to our physiological as well as our emotional and mental well-being. But also, I think there's an element to that as far as people who are trying to grow their own food. If you don't have the sunlight, right, it's not going to grow. You can put all the water that you want on your plants and all the vitamins and minerals, but if you don't have sunlight, your plants just aren't going to grow. So I think it's a twofold, two-pronged attack. I think it's an attack on life in general, as opposed to just humans or just plant life, but in general, they're trying to kill the planet, and in general, they're trying to keep us submissive to them, because if we can't grow our own food, their hope is people would become reliant on the governmental systems that they plan to put in place. So sunlight and weather changes, the fact that there isn't a lot of sun, there isn't a lot of warmth, it's dark, it's dreary. How many days have I spent in my current location where I've looked out the window and it looks as though it's going to storm? It looks as though we're going to get rain and lots of it. I've been watching clouds and skies for years. You guys have heard me talk about this for years on my shows. And I'm a pretty good judge of nature and what's coming by looking up into the clouds and into the skies, as well as I've spoken about before. My body is sort of a barometric pressure gauge. I get different physiological symptoms based on how drastic the barometric pressures are rising and falling, i.e. headaches and, you know, the clogginess that goes along with allergy and things like that. On rainy days, I'm much more congested sometimes. And as much as I work on my body and I do my preventative measures and I do my self-healing, the fact that I still struggle with these things that I didn't struggle with to the extent that I'm having these issues before, even with all of my self-healing and even with all of my energy work, indicates a very serious problem to me. And also, there are many people that didn't have issues like this before, but they have now. You know, the tightness in the chest, breathing issues is a very big one. A lot of people are having congestion and breathing issues and respiratory issues. And we know that there was also a virus that was put out that attacked the lungs and the breathing. However, this seems, again, more environmentally and just environmentally related. And it's all tied into what we're going to talk about. But yes, I've looked out the window and I'm like, oh my gosh, where is the sun? It looks like it's going to rain. Do I want to water the garden and the plants? No, it looks like it's going to rain. I'll hold off on watering the garden and the plants. And it doesn't rain. It's overcast. It's dreary. It's dark. The wind is blowing. It's much cooler than typically it would be in this area in a summer climate. There have been days where the wind has been blowing so incredibly hard and so breezily that if I'm outside doing work, I've actually had to go and grab a hoodie or come inside for a while because I've gotten chilled. Very, very, very atypical in nature. The nature that I grew up around. And a lot of people are telling me the same things. What's up with the weather? Why isn't the sun out? Well, what I tell people is they told you. They have to tell you what they're doing. They told you they wanted to block out the sun. You know, just because you're not hearing anything on the mainstream media that says that they're able to do that or says that they're progressing with that, or maybe they are and I just haven't heard it on mainstream media, trust that it's happening. On many levels, they're doing it. They're messing with the sun. They're messing with the environment. They're messing with a lot of different things. And it's a really hard full court press to take the numbers away, to eradicate society, to eradicate people, to eradicate freedoms and the way that we live and our ability to, as I said earlier, grow food, the health of our livestock, all of it, right? So anyway, clouds, the weather, the environmental stuff. There have been stories that have come out about different types of chemtrailing that they're doing, different types of particle that they're putting into the air. What have you come up with? What's your research shown you? I'd be interested to know. Email me and let me know what your findings are and how corroborative they are across the country. Although I have to tell you, my intuition is really, really strong in that I feel as though it's something that's happening across the country. And I think a lot of us are experiencing the same types of problems. And let me say also that even though I refer to other people's channels as sources on my show, please note that that doesn't necessarily mean that I subscribe to everything that they're saying. This is a free will movement. Where we are in today's times and where we are prophetically speaking, where we are universally speaking with the energy of the universe, our creator source, is now more than ever, we are being guided to use our free will and to use our discernment. And it's a movement and it's a learning process, a learning curve for all of us to develop these skills and to develop certain talents and to propel ourselves forward on our journeys, because we are truly the resistance. We are truly the ones that will make a difference and that are making a difference just by having these talks and sharing knowledge. There may be things, maybe one, maybe many, that you'll listen to me talk about. Oh my gosh, that's just too far out there. I've had loved ones tell me, I love you so much, but that's just a little bit too far out there for me. I'm not ready to open myself up to that possibility yet of, you know, the viril society and demonic things or whatever. The blood clots, the so-called blood clots, the white fibrous things. You know, they may want to listen to or be open to certain topics, but not others. What I found in a case like that, however, is that most of the time they're just afraid to know. They don't want to think that there are forces out there that are absolutely that evil that they would just do things like this to eradicate people and to hurt people. And fear is, you know, fear is an ego-based thing. We should never live in fear. We should be able to face up to everything and know that we're stronger than whatever is put against us, to be able to defend ourselves and to eradicate fear from our bodies. But fear is just, it's a basic emotion that is ingrained into us so deeply and through ego that it's just there. And it's easier for us to not think about what they could potentially be doing rather than think about the horrors of what they're actually trying to do. It's emotionally debilitating, especially if we're already struggling with life and regular issues, and how can we pay for our groceries, and how are we paying our bills, and why are our car repairs so expensive, and why is nothing getting fixed the way it used to be? Why is there such a total degradation of just being proud of our jobs in society and being able to do our jobs great? You know, if somebody brings their car in for an appointment, it to be fixed the first time. If somebody goes to the doctor, to have them offer not big pharma as a means of healing and have that issue resolved so that they're not on a pharmaceutical drug for years, or they're not having to go back to see that doctor and pay a copay every month. You know, and so I digress. Anyway, let's talk about these issues with eyes. But before I do, I just want to expound really quickly on one other kind of subtopic. As far as the sunshine goes, one thing that I was visualizing when I was in prayer is that we know that CERN is happening too, and oh boy, aren't I just filling your plate today with all of these crazy conspiracy theories. How many of you are crazy light right along with me, and how many of you are like, oh my gosh, she's finally lost her shit? Maybe it's a combination of both, right? But bear with me here, because one of the things that I saw spiritually speaking that I think is applicable in some aspect, although it hasn't been shown to me quite yet how, but you know, they're messing with CERN and have been messing with CERN for quite a long while, and we know that these interdimensional beings are coming and going, and there's a lot more instances of what we would call a traditional possession that are going on the planet. But dark creatures, you know, that live under the planet, that live in the planet, in the dark, don't necessarily like sunlight, do they? And that was just one thing that it was like a quick, brief thing that flitted through my head, and I was kind of like shown people, or creatures rather, I should say, underground, and coming up to the surface more, and them not being comfortable with the sunlight, you know, that it hurt their eyes and that it did something to their skin potentially. And it was just a brief, fleeting vision, and then it was gone. So it hasn't been ready to, or it's, I'm not ready, or it's not ready to present itself yet for God to show that to me, for universe to show that to me. But just something else, food for thought. So going back to the eye thing, and yes, I know I'm all over the map today because I have so much to talk about, and an hour just is never enough time, but I haven't got time to devote more time to you yet. It's coming, folks. Trust me. Once I get settled, we're gonna have some real fun, and we're gonna do some longer shows, and I'm gonna start to do interviews again. But anyway, so I had a friend, and I've talked about this briefly on another show, I think a couple months ago, and he's an older guy, not a lot of health issues, and all of a sudden he developed this problem with his eye, and I hadn't seen him. Typically, I see the guy once a month. I have him up for dinner because he's all by himself. He has no family around, and he's just a really good person, and I feel as though we should recognize, you know, people and make them feel special when they're feeling especially alone, because he's just a really good soul, you know, and he deserves that. He deserves to have a nice meal once a month, and I enjoy his company, and it's just nice to have that camaraderie and let people know that you care about him, right? So I hadn't seen him in a couple months because I'd been busy, and I found out that he had an eye issue, and it was an ongoing thing. And there was something where it looked initially as though it were some sort of eye infection, and it was causing him a great amount of discomfort, and visually it wasn't very appealing. He looked like somebody popped him in the eye. And after a series of doctor's visits, he decided to go down to a specialist in Massachusetts, and he was having ongoing issues and ongoing visits with this specialist in Massachusetts, although because of the duration of the time of the trip and because of the problems with his eye, he wasn't able to drive himself and had to find a buddy to drive him. Oh, another kind soul drove this guy all the way to Massachusetts and back. It was like a 6-hour or a 7-hour ride, and then waiting in the doctor's office, and sometimes being told that there wasn't time for the appointment, and sometimes the appointment running over, so they'd leave early in the morning, get back like 11 o'clock at night. You know, just this kind soul drove this guy to the appointments back and forth, and a lot of struggles. He had outpatient surgery, and he was told that that should rectify his situation and his eye would start to heal. And instead, what happened was it didn't. It started to get worse. And they put this, like, actual contraption on his eye that held his eye open. It was like a clear plastic film that was holding his eye open and supposedly allowing what they had done to heal. And as a result, that was causing issues, and he was even more uncomfortable and wasn't sleeping well and wasn't able to get comfortable while he slept. And this eye issue was ongoing and ongoing and ongoing. And gosh, finally it got to be like 4 months down the line, and he went back to the specialist, and he's finally starting to feel better from this issue, but it is not entirely resolved. And to add insult to injury, someone in the community that could not mind their own business went and turned him in and said that, oh my gosh, this person is driving around and it's a visibility issue. He's got an issue with his eye. He shouldn't be driving, which then he had to go through the DMV and he had to get a letter from his doctor saying that he was fit to drive. Just, it really turned into this snowball horrific experience for this gentleman who is still suffering. It's not resolved yet. So that's one case. Then I talked to another close friend person in my circle who had an issue that cropped up with the eye that ended up having to have an outpatient surgery on the eye, although this one claims that it's somewhat of a hereditary issue. His father had it, and his sister or family member had it, and so he had this outpatient surgery on the eye, and subsequent visits, the eye's not healing the way that it used to. It's still producing a lot of junk in the corner. There's still uncomfortableness several months into the game. It's just not the way it was before. Still itches, still burns, still a lot of problems with the eye. Imagine that. And then we have my issue. So I developed, and I have been doing a lot of things that I don't normally do. Because of some issues that I'm having with a family member, I've been in helping, I've been cleaning. So I've been working in a really dust-filled, sometimes mold interference too, but dust-filled environment, and working in a garage where, you know, mouses have been into boxes and things like that, and it's just not a healthy place to be. And I'm still taking my elderberry syrup and still doing my protocol to keep myself healthy, but I developed an eye issue about 2 weeks ago now, and I had to go to the eye doctor for it, and it was a sty. It ended up being a sty. The doctor, it was very, very painful, very uncomfortable. He pushed and squeezed, and it was on the corner of my, it was on the inside of my lower lid. It was a white bump that appeared after almost 4 days of being uncomfortable. And he squeezed it, and he poked at it, and he's like, go home and soak it, and do eye drops, and work on it, soak it daily, and it'll go away, and it'll be in about a week, it'll be better. Okay, well, so in a week it was better. A lot of discomfort, a lot of pain, a lot of just frustration. My self-healing, I think, helped to alleviate the situation, I believe, several days earlier than had I just left it alone. It was able to heal and go back to normal. And I'm still working in this environment. And so now, maybe 4 days ago, I started to develop another eye issue. Same eye. Only this time my eye is incredibly swollen, and it seems as though it's very fluid filled. Almost like somebody took a needle full of saline solution and injected it into my upper eyelid and into it's actually branching into the corner of my nose, which is all fluid filled, and underneath the eye, but most especially the top of the eye and the inside of the nose where that eye is, right? So yeah, it looks gross. I gotta go out in public. I've got stuff I gotta do, and I'm having this issue, which I've been doing warm compresses, and it does seem to help a little bit, but as a result, I am gonna see a specialist again at 3:30 this afternoon, but it's an ongoing issue. And granted, I've been working in a yucky environment, and I try to wash my hands all the time. I'm a very clean person as a general rule, but yeah, I'll admit I've been rubbing my eyes, and that possibly is what has caused my issue, but there's just something that's telling me this isn't it. I'm not getting to the root of the problem, and it just feels as though too many people are having these issues with their eyes, and they're not resolving them, or at least resolving them quickly. Now, the first guy was put on all kinds of oral medications and things like that to help with the healing process. Second person, not so much. It was an eye ointment and washes, and then just the warm compresses. In my instance, same thing, warm compresses and eye drops. But we're all having the same issues. And then there have been two other people, and I won't go into the details of their scenarios, but very similar. Eye issues out of nowhere, never had issues with styes or infections or anything like that, and all of a sudden they're having ongoing eye issues. And both of those people happen to spend a lot of time outside in their yards and their gardens. Both friends of mine who love their flowers, love their yards, have grandchildren, and they just spend a lot of time outside. And they're having the same types of issues. Just seems like too much of a coincidence to me, folks. So let's gnaw on that a minute while we go to a commercial break. This is from my good buddy, Pat Carr, who allows me to play his music on my shows. Pat's an amazing original artist from Louisiana. He's on SoundClick, Reverb Nation. You hear the same spiel every week, but please get a hold of him. Support his music and tell him Maggie sent you. You can reach him at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Also, you're listening to me on this wonderful station that carries me. I'm on 3 networks now so far, looking always for more networks. But please support the station. We are totally listener funded. Anything that you can do to support us would be so greatly appreciated. Get on the main page, check out the other shows, check out the archives, and listen to some previous shows that maybe you haven't had the opportunity to listen to before. And whatever you can do to help support us, we'd be so incredibly thankful just to keep the station running. And if you want to be a superstar and have your own business, please consider sponsoring an ad on our network. It's a great way to mutually, beneficially support both your business and get your name out there, as well as helping us at the same time. If you don't have a professional commercial, please contact the owner, and I'm sure he and the producer would be happy to put something together that you would absolutely love, that helps to promote your business while supporting us at the same time, whether or not it be a show of mine that you choose to support and sponsor, or just on the network in general. Please find it in your heart to consider advertising on our network. We'll be right back after this musical break from Pat Carr. The song is called Love So Sweet, and isn't love sweet? I would tend to agree. We'll be right back.
My mother was a talker, my dad decided to turn. They took us kids to Sunday school and lived a Christian life. We went to church each Sunday, and we never missed a week. And Jesus smiled upon us and gave us love so sweet. My love was only 18, and I was 25. I barely made money us both alive. We struggled and went hungry and tried to make ends meet. Still Jesus smiled upon us and gave us love so sweet. Ooh, love so sweet. You find you can't live up to what it's worth. Ooh, love so sweet. You can hardly find it anywhere on earth. Well, the days are getting shorter, the weather's turning cold. We have a little daughter, she's only 10 months old. She's loving and forgiving, her trust is so complete. She's just like Jesus said to be, she gives us love so sweet. And when our little girl is grown, my love and I get old, we'll look back on the times we've had, memories made of gold. The smiles, the tears, the laughter, the love we had so deep. Cause Jesus smiled upon us and gave us love so sweet. And when this life is over, our Maker we will meet. We'll stand there at the judgment bar and account for all our deeds. And there upon the right hand, Master Jesus sits, and still he smiles upon us and gives us love so sweet. Ooh, love so sweet. You find you can't live up to what it's worth. Ooh, love so sweet. You can hardly find it anywhere on earth. Love so sweet, well, you find you can't live up to what it's worth. Love so sweet, well, you can hardly find it anywhere on earth. You can hardly find it anywhere on earth.
And we're back for the second half of the Positude Podcast with your host, Maggie Hart. we were talking about chemtrails and eye issues and blocking out the sun on the first part of the show. And when I went online during the break and I went to Telegram and I just did a search for eye infections, as always, my intuition proved correctly, because not just people that I've been talking to and interacting with, but it seems as though there is a plethora of people online who are in fact experiencing the same types of symptoms as myself and my friends and loved ones. So there are a lot of people complaining about allergies, goop in their eyes, eye infections, pink eyes, dry eyes. And oh, by the way, that was one of the first things that the doctor told me, is that I suffered from dry eyes and I have to put drops in my eye every day now to help keep them lubricated. And that probably that will be a lifelong thing, is what he told me. And isn't it funny that both of the two other people that I was telling you the stories of before had been told the same things? You have dry eye and you need to use eye drops in your eye every single day. Well, why was this never a thing before? And why has it gone so crazy in the last couple of months, where people, it seems like all over the states, are complaining about these same things? Too much of a coincidence. Nothing's coincidence. So when we talk about these parasitic infections, viral, fungal, anything like that, the first thing that I want to share with you is there are some cures that we can use holistically to help us in these situations. What can we use? Well, there are many different holistic cures out there. One that was actually on the website I was just looking at, a person suggested Golden Seal as an eye wash. That's what they use to help with eye infections and things of this nature. One person suggested intermittent fasting and said to Google intermittent fasting that can help. Colosia 10 by Seven Forests, which is a Chinese medicine known to be a treatment for eye issues, is what another person suggested. I also, by the way, saw reports online of people who are complaining of their pets having eye issues. So again, too much of a coincidence, and nothing's a coincidence. But two of the things that I ascribe to and I think would be good to try are colloidal silver. If you don't have the very simple machine to make your own, make sure you get a good quality and make sure it's good PPMs per minute. Because what I found is that a lot of the colloidal sellers out there are just, it's not a quality product and it's exorbitantly priced. You can make it in your home for literally pennies on the dollar. It's just distilled water and like a copper Brillo pad is all that you need, once you have the little mason jar machine, which can cost you like $20-$30 online if you decide to look into that. But I absolutely would try the colloidal silver and castor oil eye packs. I actually did this and I feel as though between my energetic healing and my prayer work and the warm packs, that the castor oil definitely helped me to feel better quicker as well. And what I did was I just took it and soaked it onto a washcloth after I did my warm water compresses, and I just let it sit on my eyes as I laid back on the sofa for a while. They say that you can also, you know, do the packs at bedtime and keep them on your eyes all night, but I'm a side sleeper, so that really didn't work too well for me. So I just laid there and did that a couple times throughout the course of the evening, and I do feel as though that helped. I have heard people tell me that they put the castor oil directly into the eye, although to be honest, I haven't tried that yet, and I'm not a doctor, so all of these are suggestions. You know, check with your doctor, and here's my disclaimer to cover myself and the network. I'm not a doctor. These are things that are suggested by other people. Please use your own discretion before trying any of these, and it's always good to check with a doctor if you're able to before trying any of this stuff. So just some suggestions of things that other people have used that they have claimed to have success with. I know firsthand the castor oil did help me, and colloidal silver is just like my go-to for cleaning and scrubbing anything. In fact, as I've been cleaning and scrubbing out messes, I've been going over things with colloidal silver to help kill germs. We haven't yet broached the parasitical aspect of all of this, except just to basically talk about it insofar as the rural society. But parasites are also something that's absolutely coming to the forefront of a lot of the underground channels, and there are many, many sites and websites available to order products, and people that are getting absolutely positively rich over developing businesses, over counseling and helping people to develop to eradicate parasites from their system. And so absolutely, borax is something that you can try with that, doing a foot soak with borax. Just Google it. I use bentonite clay and Epsom salts and mule team borax, and that's an effective way to supposedly alleviate parasites, but also to help balance the body. So just Google that. There's a formula. You can do a quarter cup or a half cup of whatever. Another way is to take that concoction and just do like a quarter to a half cup of each and put it in a bathtub as hot as you can stand the water and soak as much and immerse as much of your body as you can into the tub for as long as you can until the water cools. That's supposed to help to eradicate toxins and parasites from the body as well. There is just a plethora of things out there. A lot of people have chosen to ingest the mule team borax on a regular basis. You could maybe look into that and research that. But what I am seeing consistently, and it does ping with me and resonate with me, is that a lot of things that are known as diseases that have caused people to lose their lives on an epic scale, i.e. cancer, there are sources out there now that are doing research that are saying that things like cancer is nothing more than a parasite, and that relieving parasites from your body is a great way to eradicate diseases and toxins and really serious stuff, it sounds like cancer. And people are having tremendous success rates from this, from eradicating parasites from the system. I just picked up pumpkin seeds the other day at my local farm market because I had read that both those and dates were a good way to get rid of any parasites if you have them in the body. So that's something that I plan to try this week and see how that works. I've gotten both the raw and cooked. My intuition tells me that the raw is probably stronger than the cooked, but flavor-wise, and, you know, because they're so hard, I'm not sure how I'm going to make out with the raw, so I bought the cooked just to try as well, and I figure, you know what, it's something better than nothing that I'm putting into my body, because the pumpkin seeds are supposed to have a pretty good success rate with that. Having said that, I'm not going to want to look to see what comes out the other end. I'll be honest with you, it kind of grosses me out. It definitely grosses me out. But I am on board with cleansing the body of anything foreign that shouldn't be in there and being able to bring my body back to balance. Many of you have heard me talk over the years about the baking soda properties, and also in regards to curing cancer, baking soda with blackstrap molasses, organic blackstrap molasses, or organic maple syrup might be something that you want to look into. There's just a ton of YouTube videos out there and books on that subject as well. And again, I'm not a doctor, just some things you might want to research and try on your own. If nothing else, to say you tried them. I have had my own personal experience, and also my family has come to me and shown me pictures of particles in things like bird baths that weren't there when they watered the garden, and then the next day they've got this orange and green fibrous material that's appearing in their bird baths. And, you know, so it's something that's easily visible when you're watering the garden and filling the bird baths, and one day there's nothing there, and then the next day after a rainy episode there's green and orange things, fibrous tissues and stringy things in the water, you know, pay attention to that. Are you finding particulates on your car or in your bird baths or on your clothing after a storm or just in general? Look to see, what is that? Where is it coming from? Why did we never have that before? Please make sure that whatever you're taking out of your hopefully all organic garden that you're washing especially well, and making sure that you're, you know, really scrubbing all of your vegetables. Use a vegetable brush if possible and rinse your stuff out very, very well. It kind of defeats the purpose of growing and eating organic stuff if there's things that are falling from the sky that's being placed on your organic vegetables and fruits. So definitely wash well, and remember to be a frequent hand washer as well. I did that as much as possible and still develop these issues. And so, you know, be as hygienic as possible. A lot of people are also telling me, by the way, that when they blow their nose, they're finding fibrous particles in their mucus, different colors, kaleidoscopy, kind of scary, but pay attention to what you're excreting from your body too. Look to see what's there when you blow your nose, and drink more water. Absolutely, water is always a very good flush, very easy to do. For parasites, somebody on one of the sites posted www.fulvichealth.org. I have not looked at the site yet, but it might be something you want to check out. I'm going to definitely do that after the show. Barbara O'Neill's sites are, if you're lucky enough to have one of her books, why, God bless you, because they're not in print anymore, I don't believe, and they're super duper expensive, but check out Barbara O'Neill's sites. She's just a literal wealth of information as far as holistic cures. She's not with us anymore on the planet, unfortunately, probably due to her research, but check out her things as well. She's just amazing. Get online and do research on nanoparticles and Morgellons, and look at pictures that people have posted as to what they look like, and compare them to things that you're finding around your yard, and look at the symptoms that they're having and compare them to your symptoms. And please reach out to me and let me know if yourselves or your families have had instances with this and what they did to successfully, hopefully, treat the issue. Or was it an unresolved, is it an ongoing issue? I'm very curious to see. One lady posted for alleviating or getting rid of Morgellons, she uses 1 cup alfalfa pellets and 1 tablespoon of high quality soap. She recommends Dr. Bronner's peppermint, which happens to be what I use to help kill organisms in my garden. And so that's another thing, is please make sure that you're diligent in whatever products that you use to kill bugs in your garden. I do Dr. Bronner's peppermint with neem oil, sometimes some Dawn dish soap and water, and I do use baking soda on my pepper plants with water as a spray to help them grow, but I think that might help also to alleviate some things. Diatomaceous earth is amazing to sprinkle that around the bases of your plants and in your root beds. That helps to alleviate critters as well. I would definitely go all out in working on your natural bug killing stuff in your garden as well, because I don't think it'll hurt. But anyway, she uses the peppermint, and she says, take a hot soak for 30 minutes and clean up the mess in a plastic bag, either gloves or similar, and shower a good 10 minutes thoroughly with lots of soap. I oil with olive oil and go to bed. It's amazing. She also recommends using lots of salads and fruit juices and smoothies the next day, as it seems the body needs to heal from all of what comes out, and drink lots of water. So that's her suggestion. As Henrik Ibsen said, there is always a risk in being alive, and if you are more alive, there is more risk. So do your homework, folks. Do your research. Someone also said, you have to fight through some bad days to earn the best days of your life. And trust me, they are coming. Have faith. And please join me next week. Good night, everybody.